But we're going to read some of Malachi and try to take away some encouragement to keep doing God's will. Malachi 1, verses 1 through 5 says, "The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, says the Lord. Yet you say, in what way have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, says the Lord? Yet Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated, and laid waste his mountains and his heritage for the jackals of the wilderness. Even though Edom has said, we have been impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus says the Lord of hosts, they may build, but I will throw down. They shall be called the territory of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord will have indignation forever. Your eyes shall see, and you shall say, the Lord is magnified beyond the border of Israel." Edom came from Jacob's brother Esau. And so we know that God picked Jacob to be of his, to have his people come from Jacob instead of Esau. So instead of God picking Edom, he picked Israel. He also is destroying Edom, but not destroying Israel, who, if you look at Israel, it seems as if they should be destroyed by now, because they've sinned time and time again. They've even been sent into captivity for their sin. But God still has mercy on them. Who does it look like God loves, Edom or Israel? It seems pretty obvious to me that God loves Israel more. But God loves us too, because we are his chosen people. He has chosen us, and he blesses us more than we realize. The air that we breathe, the ground we stand on, all these things come from God that we take for granted, and we need to realize how much God loves us and wants us to want him more too. Verses 6 through 14 says, "A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts to you priests who despise my name. Yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? You offer defiled food on my altar, but say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably? Says the Lord of hosts. But now entreat God's favor that he may be gracious to us. While this is being done by your hands, will he accept you favorably? Says the Lord of hosts. Who is there, even among you, who would shut the doors so that you would not kindle fire on my altar in vain? I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from your hands. For from the rising of the sun, even to its going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. In every place incense shall be offered to my name, and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. But you profane it, in that you say, the table of the Lord is defiled, and its fruit, its food is contemptible. You also say, oh, what weariness, and you sneer at it, says the Lord of hosts. And you bring the stolen, and the lame, and the sick. Thus you bring an offering. Should I accept this from your hand? Says the Lord. But cursed be the deceiver who has taken in his flock a male, and takes a vow, but sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is to be feared among the nations." God asks the priest, where is my reverence? God is the father, he is the master, but they're not honoring him as a father and a master should receive his honor. Instead, they're offering the lame and the sick, the stolen and the blind. but God doesn't accept it because it's not fit for him and their hearts are not pure. They're not doing what they should in their lives. They're giving him the bad and keeping the evil, keeping the good for themselves. Verse 14, I'll read it again. It says, but cursed be the deceiver who has in his flock a male and takes a vow, but sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is feared among the nations. God is a great king. He is an awesome king. We need to fear him and give him the honor that he deserves because he is also our father and master. Chapter 2, verses 10 through 16. Have we not all one Father? Has not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously with one another by profaning the covenant of the fathers? Judah has dealt treacherously, and an abomination has been committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah has profaned the Lord's holy institution, which he loves. He has married the daughter of a foreign god. May the Lord cut off from the tents of Jacob the man who does this, being awake and aware, yet who brings an offering to the Lord of hosts. And this is the second thing you do. You cover the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping and crying, so he does not regard the offering anymore, nor receive it with goodwill from your hands. Yet you say, for what reason? Because the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, with whom you have dealt treacherously, yet she is your companion and your wife by covenant. But did he not make them one, having a remnant of the Spirit? And why one? He seeks godly offspring. Therefore, take heed to your spirit and let none deal treacherously with the wife of his youth. For the Lord of God says that he hates divorce, for it covers one's garment with violence. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, that you do not deal treacherously. Some men have taken new wives in this section, and they are still bringing offerings to God, which at first it may sound like a good thing, but in verse 12 it makes it clear that it's a very bad thing. God doesn't want someone to be God knows that this man isn't faithful because of how he's seen, what he's been doing, how he's treated his wife. He doesn't want unfaithful followers who will just walk away from him. The Lord is witness of the covenant between him and the wife of his youth. And so, if the man goes away from his wife, then God can say, no, I know you were together. I saw that. We have a similar relationship with God. We have made a covenant, a promise with him that we will stay faithful to him to the last. And there are many witnesses of it. We are all here together serving him because of this covenant that we have made with him. And so when we see, we can show our faithfulness to God by being faithful to each other. God hates divorce, and in the same way he hates when people turn away from him and go to the idols of this world. And then in Malachi chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another And the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. God remembers those who are his. What an amazing thought that God Almighty, Most High, would see them as something important enough to remember. But then he calls them his special treasure in verse 17. He lifts us up so that we are his treasure that he has as precious and keeps safe. It's an amazing idea that God would want us. But if we are those who fear the Lord and meditate on his name, we will be remembered and we will be his special treasure. Let's use these ideas that God loves us and that we need to give him his honor, that we need to stay faithful to God, and that he remembers us and makes us a special treasure. Let's use these ideas this week to encourage us, to motivate us to do God's will.